This reading in the book of John, starting in the 20th verse, is so packed full of information that it's almost hard to get your arms around. This gospel, this gospel story is told in all four of the gospels. And it's told in a way that is a little different in each one. We read earlier today that it named a number of the women who came to the tomb. In this one it talks about Mary going to the tomb. But the only difference in the four Gospels is the point of view and what seemed important or what the Spirit led to be held important to the writers of the Gospel. So when one mentions one woman, the other talks about three women and others, so we know there's at least five, there's no controversy in any of the Gospels. They are consistent with one another. But they're very much like a story told that we take four people from this room talking about what occurred in church last Sunday. In this case, it was 30 years or 20 years earlier, sometimes 40 years earlier, talking about it. And so there's bound to be some differences, but these differences are reinforced as we read them all together. This scripture and the scripture in the other four gospels is the very basis for us believing in Jesus Christ. It's very basis for our faith. It is the very basis for our understanding of who we are and who God is and what God has planned for us. The scripture tells so many details. But the danger is it's very familiar. Anyone who comes to church on Easter has heard this scripture over and over again. It is the Easter story, very much like the Christmas story. Jesus was placed in the tomb. He was attended to by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They placed him in the tomb. They were both members of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the very Sanhedrin that had turned Jesus over to Pontius Pilate and insisted that he be put to death. Scripture tells us that Joseph was a dissenting vote in that matter. It doesn't tell us about Nicodemus, but I think we can assume that he too was a dissenting vote in that time. They prepared Jesus' body in the customary way, which is documented in history, that they would take the body and they would wrap it in cloths, but between the layers of cloths that they would wrap it in, they would place these herbs and spices in the cloths. And they generally would wrap the body from the around the knees all the way up to the mid-chest. And then they would wrap the head in a turban, like with herbs and spices as well, in a separate cloth. And don't you recall the story when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and he summoned Lazarus out of the tomb and he told Lazarus to come forth? He said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus must have kind of hobbled out because he had this. And Jesus said, "Loose him and set him free from the bonds of the cloths." And so we know that Lazarus was also bound in this way. And so Jesus was prepared hastily because the time was coming very quick for the Passover and for Sabbath. But Jesus was prepared for the tomb and laid in a newly cut stone tomb. And then Joseph and Nicodemus rolled a great stone in front of this. And we read elsewhere in scripture that a guard was posted there by Pontius Pilate, ordered that a Roman guard would have been posted in front of this. And a typical guard would have been rotating shifts of 16 men each shift, were standing guard to make sure that nobody stole the body from the tomb. But we know from the other scriptures that the tomb, that the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now the stone did not roll away from the tomb to free Jesus. Jesus was already gone. The stone rolled away from the tomb to free us, to allow us to see that the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away from the tomb, and the guards were so alarmed by it, they fled. They said that when the angels came and rolled the stones, the guards were like dead men. And then some of them later went to the leaders of the Jews and told them that what had happened. And they gave them great sums of money to say that the body, that they had fallen asleep and the bodies had been stolen. As though we're to believe the 16 trained soldiers fell asleep on watch and didn't notice when somebody came and rolled away the tombstone that they were guarding. So what evidence do we have? And we talked about that in this morning service. What evidence do you have that Jesus Christ really was raised from the dead? Well, the evidence is here, and part of the evidence is here in the scripture that we read. So Peter and the other disciple, that's John, ran, and Peter reached the tomb. Peter reached the tomb, and he went in and looked and saw the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in when John saw it. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been wrapped, that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. So what was it that he saw that made him believe? This is important, because this is what you need to be able to tell people who ask about the death of Christ and ask about Jesus really being raised from the dead. When he describes that the cloth was laying there and that the head, and that the head wrapping was separate from that, that would be just as you would expect them to be when they are on, when they were wrapped around Jesus, because the head wrap would have been separate from the body wrap. And what they saw was not evidence of the body being stolen, because who would remove the wraps, the burial wraps, if they stole the body? It is not evidence of Jesus Christ coming to after having been in shock or a coma from being nailed to the cross and having his side pierced. Because surely if he had done that, he would have struggled and pulled the wrappings from him. No, what they saw was the head wrapping laying there apart from the body wrapping, just as the body had come right through the wrappings and left the wrappings and all of the herbs and spices right in place. It's just the body wasn't there. And as we know, later Jesus walked through the wall, and later in the next end of this chapter, it talks about how Jesus came in the midst of his disciples when they were in Jerusalem and came right through the wall and entered in. We know Jesus in his resurrected body was able to pass through things. So we know that Jesus was able to pass through these wrappings and leave the tomb. And so the stone wasn't rolled away to allow Jesus to be freed from the tomb. The stone was rolled away so that we could see the tomb is empty. And the tomb remains empty today. And it's that empty tomb and that risen Jesus Christ that shows us that we too will be risen And we too, when we die, will be given a resurrected body. And we too will reside with God in heaven, just as Jesus Christ sits at his right hand today. And that's very good news. That's very good news. Jesus Christ went to the cross because it had to be. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 9, it tells us that Jesus Christ would be born. It tells us that he would teach and that he would heal and that he would die and that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And that was over 400 years before Jesus Christ actually did arrive on this earth. Scripture tells us over 300 times about the coming Messiah, about the salvation that he would bring. God had a plan for Jesus Christ. God had a plan that was working itself out in time. And God's plan is working itself out in time today. God has a plan for you. One of the other things that's very good news is the scripture is completely consistent and the scripture all ties together. Don't you recall when Jesus talked about and said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and the sheep will know my voice." Even though Jesus was in his resurrected body and he would allow or not allow people to recognize him at times, when Mary thought that he turned and probably barely glanced, she saw somebody there. Believe me, Mary was not looking for the resurrected Christ. Mary was looking for the dead body. The disciples, when they came, were not looking for the risen Christ. They were looking for the dead body. And what they saw amazed them when they saw that the body had just absented itself from the wrappings. And the wrappings were laying there, just collapsed on themselves. And so Mary thought, thinking Jesus was the gardener, asked where the body had been taken, where he put him. Where, you know, "I'll go get him." Mary was distraught. Mary was lost. Mary was in great pain. Jesus Christ, who she believed in, who she loved, had died. But Mary was one of his sheep. And when Jesus said, "Mary," the sheep recognized the voice of the shepherd. And she said, "Rabboni, Rabbi, Master." Because the sheep knew her master's voice. And the master knows the sheep by name. And Jesus Christ today knows you by name. He is a personal God. He is not a God of all creatures, great and small. He is a God that knows you by name. And the tomb was empty. And Mary was empty. And the disciples were empty. They were completely depleted and alone. Until Jesus Christ came to them and filled that empty space. The tomb is empty, but his disciples were no longer empty. The tomb was empty, but Mary was no longer empty. Her Savior was there. Her Savior was alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And if you're feeling that empty space today, the only one who can fill it is Jesus Christ. If you're feeling that empty space today, the only one who can make you whole is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who could go to the cross and take on the burden of my sin and your sin. He's the only one who could take our place, to take our punishment instead of us. He's the only one who God would recognize as worthy to be a living sacrifice, to be the Lamb, to have His blood spilled in my place. And He's the only one who could do that. And thank God He did that. The tomb is empty, but you do not have to be empty. The tomb is empty, but Jesus Christ is here to fill our lives, to make them full, so that we can live our lives in fullness, in richness, that can only come through Him. Reread this story this week. Come back and read the account, not only in the book of John, but read it in Matthew and Mark and Luke. Read the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get familiar with the story and be ready to talk to your friends when they raise their doubts about Jesus Christ. Get ready. It can allow you to give the good news at your fingertips, at your lips, to have the word. You know, as we go and seed, as we go and spread the seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ, we have to have seed in our bag. So fill your bag with the seed of the gospel as is written in these verses, so that you too can give witness and you too can share the very good news that makes us shout, "Hallelujah! Christ is risen." Amen.